Well, good morning, and it's good to see you. Good to be here at Parker's Cove Baptist Church. I just want to share how thankful I am that my wife and I could come and be with you and spend this little time with you this morning. I'm honored and humbled for the opportunity. Thank you, Colin, and leadership, for allowing me to come and to show God's love and to share God's word. 32 years ago, I had the privilege of being at your camp and being a speaker for the week when Pastor Mel Jones was your pastor. And through that week, Pastor Jones and his dear wife became very dear to my wife. And when I went through a very difficult health situation, major operation, and was having a real difficult time in the hospital, into my room walked Pastor Jones one day. He had some friends with him, some other pastors, and they walked into my room and visited with me, encouraged me. And at the end of that time of their visiting, I asked them to pray. And the other pastors all turned to Pastor Jones and said, "Brother Mel, would you pray?" And he prayed. And I was so blessed and uplifted, as he uplifted me to the Lord. And so I was so thankful for that man and his ministry to me. You've just seen a video. It's American, as you could tell very quickly, that Cuba is in a very perilous time. But so are you, and so are we. And we are growing closer and closer to the time when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come. And he's going to take us out of here, which we can be so thankful for. Now, Colin referred to knowing me for quite some time, and he kind of shared about how he knew me when he was a lot younger. And I have one a vivid memory of Colin, and I'll take the liberty to share it with you. We were at vacation with a vision at New Brunswick Bible Institute, and he and my youngest son, Sandy, found that they needed to be checking out some plants that ended up being known as poison ivy. And I don't know if he remembers that or not, but his mom and my wife, Sandy's mom, took them to the emergency and they got seen to. But that was not a good situation for sure. In 2015, God arranged that I could go to Cuba. I was pastoring a church, and I've pastored churches for over 40 years. Just retired in October 2020, from Maranatha Bible Church in New Glasgow. And when I was there in 2015, the leadership came to me, and we had just had a man by the name of Don Pickle, who is one of the founders of Assist Canada. We had had him at a missions conference, and maybe some of you recognize him. And he had shared about Assist Canada and what they do. And what they do is they come along pastors and churches in impoverished countries, in countries of persecution, which you've seen the persecution of the people in Cuba. But the pastors and churches are really persecuted and extremely impoverished. And in 2015, God spoke to my heart and said, "You're going to Cuba." Now, I'm a homeboy. I just like to stay home around, not too far from home and the Maritimes. But in January of 2015, I arrived in Cuba. There was five from our church, a couple of other people from other churches went along with us. And we arrived in Cuba. And we were there to visit and encourage and also take some supplies and some finances down to the pastors and their wives there who were suffering. And I didn't know how much of suffering they would be under until we got there. And so for 10 days, we visited 20 churches. And we were there to encourage them. But I want to tell you, dear brothers and sisters, that they encouraged our hearts more. They encouraged our hearts because of their perseverance and their faith that they had for doing what God wanted them to do, and that was share the blessed gospel with the dear Cuban people. Now in Cuba, the evangelical church has been there for 100 years, but mostly just recently, since the revolution took place, the evangelical church is really making an impact, and the Cuban church, evangelical church, is growing. And I want you to know, not only growing in numbers, but growing in the knowledge of the Lord, and they are impacting Cuba, and in a very dangerous and situation for them. God is working, and we heard testimony after testimony of people coming to know the Lord and baptisms regularly, and we went to their prayer meetings. And the prayer meetings touched my heart because they not only have like one prayer meeting a week, they have a corporate church prayer meeting, they have a men's prayer meeting, a ladies' prayer meeting, a teens' prayer meeting, and they are packed, every one of them. And folks testify and praise God. And by the way, I want to say also thank you so much for the praise time that you've had and the worship songs, and thank you to those who led us in lifting our voices and hearts to the Lord. That's a real blessing, and it really helps for what I'm going to do now. You did a great, great job. This is a wonderful facility also. Don't take it for granted. Thank God for it. I'm especially impressed with the ramp outside here. Because we have a little disabled daughter. She's 33, actually. And right now, she needs your prayers. She was a missionary with Youth for Christ for a number of years, graduated from MBBI, did her fourth year with Colin's mom, and really learned a lot. And she was a missionary for quite a number of years on the streets of Portage La Prairie, Manitoba, with Youth for Christ, reaching young girls and young women and teenage girls who are on the streets, and she saw the Lord work in many hearts. But last September, we got a call that she was in the hospital with an induced coma. She had had deep brain seizures, never before had them, and she ended up in the hospital. And I don't have her permission to share everything with you, but she needs your prayer. She's home with us now. She's unable to work, unable to take care of herself. And she needs your prayers, and we need your prayers. Her name's Deanna. If you think of her, please pray for her. So in Cuba, we were blessed. And what a blessing it was to be able to take down funds, and we took down a lot of clothes and summer clothes. And by the way, we're collecting all these things. And we have a sign-up sheet out there. If you want more information, if you sign it, we'll send you information on how you can give and donate. if you put your name and email on there or address, we'll get back to you. But we're collecting, and especially they don't have, as you see, the general public doesn't have much. The government and their officials have everything. But the general public don't have much, and especially pastors and their families. So we take clothes down. We try to encourage them, and we take school supplies down. Here's the biggie, medical supplies. You can walk into your pharmacy, and you can grab Tylenol or Advil or ibuprofen or cough drops. They don't have that there. They don't even have Pepto-Bismol. And so we need all those things so that we can take down to them and send down to them because they don't have it. I was going to tell you that Cuba, the greatest percentage of folks religiously are from Roman Catholicism. Although a great percentage also is what is called Santeria, which is a mixture of Catholicism and voodoo. And that's very strong, led by witch doctors. But the thing is, they're seeing that that is not meeting their needs. And they pay a high price for being part of that. But then when they come in contact with evangelicals and the Cuban believers who are very outspoken about their faith and ready to witness, and because they know that Jesus changed their lives. And on the video you saw there, the words freedom and home life and homeland, SOS. Well, thank God we know the real freedom. That freedom is in Christ. And we know that the homeland is not here on earth. We know for sure that one day, if we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, we are going home to the real home, that wonderful, blessed place called heaven. And SOS, save our ship, that's what the people would say. That's what the secular people would say. But SOS, we take it as save our souls. And that's why we do what we do in assisting, trying to help the pastors who, by the way, their salary is $40 to $50 a month, Canadian. That's what it would be. Assist works with the Eastern Baptist Conservative Convention in Cuba, and there's a Western Baptist also, but we worked in the east of Cuba. We don't work around Havana or other major cities in the west. We work more in Joaquin and in the east, all around. We traveled all around. There are some larger evangelical churches in the biggest cities, but also we were around the countryside and saw miracles, how God blessed and how God protected the churches, even through the communistic dictatorship regime. God placed that burden on me, and that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. But my main purpose is, because I'm not going to take too long on the assisting, my main purpose this morning, and Lord willing, if I state my purpose, we'll accomplish the task, is to share God's word with you. And so if you could be finding with me, please, a book probably that you don't usually turn to often, but if you could be finding, please, 2 Chronicles chapter 16. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. I want to share with you a message entitled Reliance Renege, or Reneging Your Reliance. Reneging Your Reliance. And it's found in 2 Chronicles, chapter number 16. And this may be a familiar situation to you about King Asa and what was happening in his life. There are verses in the Bible that tells us that things in the past or had come before are written for our example or our examples, and that we need to take to heart and apply and learn the lessons of the things that came before. And so it's very important that we realize that in the Old Testament, it's important for us to know these truths that are in there so that we know how to live for God and serve God. And sometimes you have to go to places that are not usually mined, but if you mined deeply, you find some wonderful nuggets and treasures. And so in 2 Chronicles, chapter number 16, I want to begin reading at verse number 1. And this is at the end of Asa's reign. And he reigned about 41 years. He lived until he was about 100, as far as I can figure. Had an interesting death, which we'll mention in a few minutes. And it says there, in the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come into Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, there is a league between me and thee, or a contract, or a deal, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go, break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa, and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel, and they smote Leon and Dan and Abel-Maim and all the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass when Baasha heard it that he left off building the building of Ramah and let his work cease, that Asa the king took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof, and wherewith Baasha was building, and he built therewith Geba and Mizpah. And at that time, you see, beloved, God has a special time. Could you say those words with me, please? At that time. At that time. Say it again, please. At that time. Because God knows the time, and God has the right time and the right place to do his work that he wants to do. At that time, that's a specific time, and that's God's perfect timing. And he knows exactly the time and when and what he's going to do. And so the timing is perfect because God is perfect. Our God is a perfect God. You know, we say so often, God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Well, you see, God is perfect all the time, and all his time also is perfect. And so he has the perfect timing. Colin mentioned that I Pastor and Tracy, and I had the privilege of being there. It's, and I'll say it as many say it, one of God's hidden treasures. The people are hungry for the Word of God. We went there for one Sunday service, and we stayed over 8 years. That's God's timing, and God knows. And so, at that time, Hannah and I, the seer, or the prophet, or the messenger that God had. See, God has His spokespeople that He wants to speak to our hearts. See, Assist Canada was started by Don Pickle and another man older, John Harder, who both were with a United States mission called Avant Mission. Came out of the old Gospel Missionary Union. And they were missionaries with Avant, which is a U.S. mission. And you kind of heard, believe me, Cubans do not like the United States. They detest the United States, especially the regime of leadership there. They detest the United States. And they'll do anything to try and thwart United States' progress. Now, when President Obama was there, as you saw, they were more friendly. And in fact, he was there when we in power when in the United States when we were there in 2015, and it was starting to open up, getting freer, and people were talking about how relations were being restored. But then Mr. Trump came on the scene, and as you saw, he declared them terrorists again, and that was just like a real blow, and they went in the opposite direction. So here we have the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria. He relied on the king of Syria, Ben-Hadad, and made that deal with him. Because thou hast relied, and that's where we get our message from. Reneging our reliance, or reliance reneged. And it says there, and not relied on the Lord thy God. Therefore is the host of King Assyria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, He delivereth them into thine hand. And that's the truth found in the previous chapter. The great Ethiopian army was defeated by Asa with a smaller. Asa was the king of Judah, two tribes, small nation of Judah. To the north was Israel, larger, 10 tribes, the divided kingdom, Israel and Judah. And Asa was a good king. Now, in the north, there were not any good kings. And in the south, in Judah, there were a few. Still some evil kings. But Asa was a good king for two-thirds of his life, of his reigning, because he relied on God. And if you don't remember anything else that I say, this is what I want you to remember, that we are always to rely on God. Asa took things into his own hands. He thought he could manipulate, and he linked up with the enemy. And by the way, may I tell you, the enemy is always ready there to put thoughts in your mind and to get you thinking contrary to God and His Word. The enemy is very close, and he wants, when God is building and God is working, the enemy is there to wreck and to ruin. And it will happen if we do not rely on God. And may I say to you, and I believe God allowed me to come here just to tell you this. with what's ever happening in your life, and I don't know of one of you hardly, not really. Whatever's happening in your life, in your situation, with your somebody, whatever's happening in the church, whatever is taking place around you in the situations that we have, that's growing worse and worse each day, then we need to be relying on the Lord. Relying on the Lord. Turn back, if you would, to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. And notice here. It says here, verse 2. 2 Chronicles 14:2. And Asa did that which is good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. And he did. He restored Judah to worshiping God. He did that which was good and right. And God blessed him. And God helped him to have victory over the enemies. And God will bless your reliance on him. How imperative it is today for believers to continue to be relying on God for our marriages, for our families, for our health problems that we have. We need to rely on God. Notice here, as we read on in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, and now verse 9, how I love these words. How you and I need to claim them. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. Verse 9. Throughout the whole earth. To show himself strong. In the behalf of them whose heart is perfect. And that word does not mean sinless. Or perfectly right. It just means who are trusting and complete and holy. Given to the Lord, whose heart is perfect toward him, committed to depending upon God. You see, dearly beloved, this is no time to have faith failure. This is no time to have dependence drop out. No time to drop out on depending upon God. And you do not know, and I don't know, what's going to come around our corner or land on our doorstep, or what phone call we're going to have, or what's going to happen. But we need to be trusting in, putting our confidence in, and relying and dependent totally on God. And he will bless that. He will show himself strong to us. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Okay? Asa, you want to link up with the enemy? You want to stop relying on me and not depending upon me in what I have done for you? What I had done for you? And by the way, it was not an easy situation for Asa. Asa means physician or healer. That's what the name means, and he was used of God to heal the land spiritually. Because in chapter 15 and verse 8, he put away all the idols. They were worshiping idols. And an idol, of course, is anything that takes the place of our love, our worship, and our service to God. It's putting something before God. That's an idol. He did that. He took them away. In chapter 15, verse 16, he did something that I want you to know took much faith. Because what he did there was he removed his own mother-in-law from ruling in the palace. Now I tell you, when you deal with mother-in-laws, sometimes it's hard. I thank God for my mother-in-law. She was good to me. I had the best mother-in-law. Loved her to death. She died too early with breast cancer. And we missed her.
But he removed because she was an idol worshiper. And by the way, when it comes to relying on God, you need to get this. When it comes to relying on God and depending upon God, you really need to do it as far as family is concerned. We're learning some tough lessons in these days. My family and I, my wife and I, we're learning some tough lessons. And the hardest thing to do is dealing with family situations, circumstances that we would have never asked for. But this is a time when we need, and with God's help, are learning to rely upon Him more than ever. When we were about to leave Cuba in 2015, we walked into the customs and to the airport at the customs. And as we were walking in, we heard this announcement. And it was this. All Canadians, this is an announcement for you. All those flying to Halifax, there is the worst snowstorm of the season in Halifax. Now in Cuba, it's 95 degrees. And we're hearing the worst snowstorm. In fact, that year, 2015, if you can remember, we had no snow up until that first big snowstorm at the end of January. Then it snowed every Wednesday and every Sunday for sure. And every weekend there was snow. It was just bang, 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 snowstorms. Well, we heard that announcement, and they said, you're probably not going to fly into Halifax today. And we wanted to get home. I mean, you know, we were in Cuba. By the way, you know, some of you may have been to Cuba, and you've been to the resorts. I have a daughter that's going this fall, has it all planned, going to the resorts. They're not what they used to be, folks. You need to be prepared for that because of the food shortage. Things aren't like they were. And even we were planning on a trip to go down. Assist was taking some people down in the fall. They don't know if there's enough food there to sustain a team for a week. So we don't know if they're going down or not. But we had to stay in a resort for the first two nights and then the last night. And by the way, that was no picnic. In fact, I've never felt evil around me like at that resort. It was unbelievable. But a lot of people go down to the resort, but you don't see the real Cuba until you get out around and see the poverty. And if you're in the church, it's the persecution that is there and the attacks of unbelievers and the Santeria people and unbelievable. Another church missionary trip was on the same plane and went down. And we don't tell them that we're missionaries to get in there. We just tell them we're going to be visiting around the area and especially churches. But another missionary trip from another church was on the plane with us, and they told them that when they went in through the customs, they said, yeah, we're missionaries. We're going to be doing some vacation Bible schools. And they said, no, you're not. And they made them stay in the resort a whole week. And they were really under attack. I mean, they heard things at night, and things were done to their apartments and or their hotel rooms and everything that were just unbelievable kind of thing. But we left the resort. We went out around, stayed in bed and breakfasts, and they were so good to us. The policemen, communist police, followed us and had to know exactly where we were all the time. The bed and breakfast folks, they reported within 48 hours who had stayed at their bed and breakfast. We had to get off the van twice that the police stepped on and tried to harass us and everything. It was not good. But anyway, I want to tell you about this storm. They said, no one's flying into Halifax today. So we got together in a little circle there, and we prayed, oh, God, we want to get home. Can you take us home? Shortly after we prayed, the announcement came that one plane was going to fly into Halifax. And so we grabbed our bags and we got out onto the plane, and the pilot said, no other pilot will fly into Halifax in this storm, but I'm going to take you there. And we just were praising God, you know, for that one pilot. And he took us in the middle of the snowstorm, and he landed that plane as if it was a beautiful day like today, smooth as could be. And we got out of the plane, and it was a blizzard completely. But God did a miracle, and he does those things if you rely upon him. So Asa, he really relied upon God. And so he relied upon God like we relied upon God too in Cuba. And in Cuba, as I said several times, and I hope you're listening, the poverty and the persecution is great. Then why is the church growing? Because of that. Because they have nothing. And when the persecution comes, they have no way of defending themselves. And so they pray. I told you about the prayer meeting. And they depend upon God's power to help them and to protect them and to provide for them. Because they have nothing. But God is supplying all their needs that he promises to. One church we visited way out by the coast, the little church building standing right by itself there. Every building down the street that way, down the street this way, every house was demolished because of Hurricane Katrina. All gone. The government comes along and says, we believe that your church building is needing to be demolished. It must be having structural damage from the hurricane without even looking at it or anything. They said, we're coming into bulldozing it. So what are we going to do? What's the church going to do? Pray! Pray! And a dear lady from the church passed away, and she gave in her will a wonderful piece of land, inland, beautiful several acres for them to rebuild. And here's where the location was. See, God knows, folks. God knows. I'll say it again. God knows. And God has the plan. Not a plan. God has the plan. Right across from this church where they were given the property and they built. There's a church there now. I've seen pictures of it. And sometime, maybe if you have a missions conference, I could come back and show you a lot of pictures and tell more. But right across from this church, newly built now, right across is a block of apartment buildings full of people that need the Lord. And that's their mission field. A whole block, high-rise apartment buildings. And so God moves in his mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. And he does wonders there so wonderfully. So let me give you, as our time is gone and you want to get home, I'll give you four things very quickly. So that you will not stop relying. You won't renege on your relying. You won't have dependence, dropout, or faith failure. Resist the temptation to rely on someone else or something else. Rely upon God. Then remember the testimony of God's messengers. Remember God and his word, what the message is. The message from God and his word, the truth. You need to remember that. And that's what he had to remember. Then he had to recognize that God was sovereign and protected him. Those words there, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole world to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect. You could put your name in there. You could put the church name in there. That the eyes of God sovereignly are on you. He knows you. And he will sovereignly protect you. And you are a special person because of your heart. Your heart, God's blessing. You're his child. He'll take care of you. He is our heavenly Father. And so we need to turn our hearts toward him. And he has a special purpose to show his strength. And that's what he wants to show to us. How strong he is when we are weak. He is strong. He is the strongest of the strong. So we need to remember God's provision, God's protection. We need to remember God's promises. When the opposition is there, the persecution is there. When we lack, when we are weak, even like the Cubans there, we need, whether it's spiritually or health or whatever it is, we need to remember that God is watching over us. He's the same God, whether you're 11 or 21, 31, 41, 51, 61, 71, 81, 101, whatever age, he is the same God. And so here is the conclusion. The conclusion is that it's all about your choice and my choice. When I get up in the morning, I can choose to rely upon God. I can talk to him and say, God, I don't know what this day is coming. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know the situations or the somebodies, but I am going to remember to rely upon you. I am going to remember to put my faith in you. I am going to depend upon you. God, I am making that choice. And I'm going to walk through this day relying totally upon you. And I'm going to believe your word. I'm going to take you, God, at your word and your promises. And God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will be with you until the end of the world, he says. And so we can walk through this world relying upon God, putting our faith in him, depending upon him, until we walk with him in the glory land. Because he is our blessed hope. My heart can sing when I pause to remember. A heartache here is but a stepping stone along a trail. What's your trail? Where is the Lord taking you? Along a trail that's winding always upward. This troubled world is not my final home. But until then, my heart will go on singing. And until then, with joy, I'll carry on. Until the day these old eyes, I don't see out of this one. I'm telling you now, I didn't want to tell you at first, but I don't see anybody over here until you turn like this. By the way, I just need these for reading. I wore glasses, thick glasses, as thick as Coke bottles for years. And God did a miracle. And now I drive, and it's off my license that I need eye correction. I can drive without glasses. That's a miracle. They said I'd be blind at 20. I see better than I've ever seen, physically, Lord willing, spiritually. But until the day my eyes behold the city, until the day he calls me home. Are you trusting in him, first of all, for salvation? Do you know him personally as Lord and Savior? He loves you. He wants the best for you. He wants to save you if you've never been saved. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Calling is putting your trust in, relying upon him. Jesus died, was buried, rose again, is coming back because he loves you. And if you're not saved, if you're thinking a church saves you or a ritual saves you, no, that's not the Savior. The Savior is Jesus Christ, and you need to put your full trust in him. And then, dear Christian, don't renege your reliance. Don't drop your dependence. Don't let your faith fail. Because he is God. Forever and ever, we sang, he is God. Father, thank you.